Friday, 3rd February, in Canada, Ontario, Canada. I'm having this conversation with Mr. Kingsley Una, who is a recent immigrant to Canada. Good evening, Kingston. How are you? Kingsley! Kingsley Una, how are you? Sorry.
Very well.
Kingston is a good name too, you must admit. I'd like to know, what are the reasons why young professional Nigerians want to migrate to Canada, North America, and other Western countries?
Okay, there are two distinct groups that I've seen now of immigrants that are the very young and the relatively young. The very young being the 20s, those in their 20s and those in their early 30s that are just starting off with their career and have not really gotten to senior positions while in Nigeria. So they see coming to Canada as having a fresh start and with the world ahead of them, and they can build a career and make a better life in Canada. That group is the economic group that everybody understands why they're leaving. They're leaving for economic reasons because they probably would end up earning more in Canada. But there's a growing group in Nigeria now that these are people that are comfortably in the middle class in Nigeria. They are professionals that have gotten to senior level. Like, I can speak for myself, I was a director of finance in a company that is
a
telecoms company in Nigeria, one of the top telecoms company in Nigeria. So I was doing very well, and there are many of my colleagues in that bracket, some from the banks, telecoms, the oil industry, that we weren't actually looking for economic improvements by migrating to Canada. But we've realized that no matter how well you do in Nigeria, there's the country risk that impacts everybody, particularly the lower and middle class people. Maybe the very wealthy people don't get impacted as much by the country risk, but those of us that were in the middle class in Nigeria were greatly impacted. You no matter how.
Now, so what exactly constitutes country risk?
Poor healthcare, poor security, then of course the prospects for your family, as the development of your family, your children, and the ability to compete in a growing globalized world. Now for security, we all know that living in Nigeria, whether except you're living in the middle of Ikoyi, your risk of getting kidnapped is as, you're exposed to kidnapping as much as the person living that's, in fact, the well off you are, the more into the middle class that you are, the greater your risk of being kidnapped or being faced with one security problem or the other. That scares a lot of people, particularly in the middle class, and those group of professionals that have attained some certain level of comfort. Then, of course, the healthcare is a big challenge for people there. Yes, the Nigerian healthcare is terrible, and everybody is a crisis away from being either back to poverty or crossing over to the great beyond because the healthcare is bad. So that has driven a lot of people in that group to want to come abroad. Many that we've seen so far would bring their families over, then stay back in Nigeria. While those that still feel they can compete. They still have enough in their tank to compete in a new country, come with their family and try to forge the new career here in Canada or in North America.
So you talk about the security risk in terms of possibility of kidnapping.
Yes.
Do you personally know people who have been kidnapped? I mean, not from the news, but people who are, you know, friends or friends of friends or associates?
Many. Many. Okay. So not just... I'll give you an example. I was on a training call sometime last year, and the facilitator of the training just stopped. Someone walked up to him while we were on a Zoom call, and he stopped for a few minutes, then he came back and said his sister has been kidnapped, so we had to stop the call. But that's even an isolated case. We've had to contribute for friends that have been kidnapped past, colleagues in the office, because of course the company would not want to contribute to such to ransom payment because they don't want to attract attention, but individuals have had to do that. So yes, it's a risk that is truly alive. It's not like, it's not hearsay. I know a few people that have been kidnapped.
Also, in terms of the healthcare, can you give a few examples of why you know that, you know, people are just one sickness away from heavy indebtedness or going to the great beyond? So is this something that personally you know people who have been badly affected?
Yes, there's no, I'm not exaggerating, there's no month or no other month that passes that we don't have to, in several groups that I find myself in, probably secondary school group or university or business group, that we don't have to contribute money for someone that is sick or whose child is sick and they can afford treatment, or the healthcare plan that they have has been exhausted. No, every other month there's one case or the other. In fact, in my secondary school group, which we just concluded contributing for one of our colleagues that the son was involved in an accident and he had to do a head surgery and she didn't have money. And this is somebody that's is a senior officer in the civil service, but she didn't have money. She couldn't afford the treatment for herself. And this is something that would have been treated as an emergency in the Western world. Probably, even if it's going to cost the person some money later, but at least it will save the child's life. But we had to contribute money for the doctors to even begin to talk to the boy. Or begin to take care of the boy.
Okay. Also, you know, when you compare living here in Canada with living in Nigeria and working in Nigeria, when you compare it with living and working in Canada, what are the pluses and minuses in terms of your own experience and then what you know about colleagues?
Okay, living in Canada, the quality of life, right, is one of the big attraction to Canada. Quality of life being I don't have to bother myself about some basic things that would be troubling to the average Nigerian professional. Like I've mentioned healthcare, I've mentioned education. Schools, public schools are free here, so that takes away a lot of pressure for Nigerians coming in, then for those of us that lived in Lagos, half of the health problems that we have probably from Lagos traffic, having to spend 3-4 hours daily in traffic, that can cut short your life by half. When we come to Canada, we don't have such problems. You don't have that pressure. Or of course, what we take for granted, yeah, electricity. Things, basic things that people spend hours praying about and praying against in Nigeria are just, yeah, they are just normal stuff.
What are those things? Give me examples.
Like electricity.
You pray about electricity.
if we go in the children will not allow you recording.
So
people pray about electricity in Nigeria. You pray to have money to buy a generator, you pray to have money to fuel the generator. So we basically pray about electricity in Nigeria. You pray about,
okay, so there are the infrastructure issues, that the infrastructure is better.
Yes.
So, I mean, you talk about quality of life, but there's also, I mean, are there challenges in Canada for somebody who is a new immigrant, highly qualified and experienced, middle class, coming from Nigeria? What are the challenges?
Yes, there are lots of challenges. The first challenge would be integrating into the system. The greatest fear, or the most painful experience we have, is being accepted in the workplace. There's something we call Canadian experience. That's what every immigrant first faced. You don't get a footing because they don't see a Canadian experience on your resume. And that's not unique to the good news about it is that it's all unique to people coming from Africa.
Mm.
People coming from all parts of the globe except the US.
America.
Yes. Would always be challenged.
Even people coming from the UK.
Even coming from the UK, people coming from Europe, they would still have that challenge of Canadian experience. And what I found out when I eventually started working in Canada is not so much as what they do. Because basically you find out that we are a lot more experienced for the jobs we take, and we overperform in the jobs that we take. So it wasn't professional performance that is the concern. It's the integration into the workplace, the work culture, and their fear that you probably won't fit in, especially for people managers. The fear that you probably would not be able to manage people the way they manage people in Canada, which, to be fair, after a while you begin to realize that it's a concern, but it's not as much as they try to make it look, but it's a concern because people are managed differently than we coming from a place like Nigeria where the bosses tend to...
Nigeria is more hierarchical.
Yes, Nigeria is more hierarchical.
I think gender sensitivity is
exactly
less in Nigeria. And then all this, the concern for people who are not heterosexual.
Yes.
There's clear respect for their rights and their, you know, and need for them to be as comfortable as everybody else in the workplace. Meanwhile, in Nigeria, you can't even show that aspect of yourself.
Exactly. You know? So that's the one of the concerns. That's the major concern that employers have about immigrants coming into the system. So what it tend to, the best jobs that immigrants get into non-people manager roles, like a specialist role, and you warm yourself into the organization and into the system. Sorry. You warm yourself into the organization and into the system, and they begin to trust you, and then you pick up people managing.
Okay, so that's one. What else?
Of course, the whole work culture, like things we take for granted, like what to talk about in the office, and whether you need to talk at all. Being an immigrant, you come into the workplace. There's a culture in Canada, for instance, they do a lot of small talk. And the small talk they do is not the type that we are used to in Nigeria. We're a bit more intense in our social discussions. Why, for them, they don't go that, like in Canada, in the Canadian workplace, it is totally unacceptable to discuss politics, to discuss sexuality, to discuss religion. While those kinds of discussions are not out of bounds in a Nigerian workplace. So the immigrant does not really know what to talk about, but is expected to do small talk when he comes to the office, because you need to integrate. So you need to, when I first came, because I didn't know how to do small talk that well, I had things, when I do one activity on a weekend, I spread the gist about that activity for the next 4 weeks. So when I go to the office on Monday, I will just start talking about one aspect of it. The next week, I will come and talk about another aspect of that same experience. So, but I pretty much got used to it after a while. And when I got comfortable with my colleagues, I knew what to say. And so it's a bit, a lot of people have been seen not to be proper fits in the workplace, and they've probably been discriminated against because they couldn't do basic things like small talks.
So you think discrimination is based on just this objective thing of not being a good fit? So racism doesn't exist in Canada?
It does.
So does it affect immigrants? And in what ways does it affect people?
It does. The there are some demographics that have been entrenched in the workplace. Of course, the whites are already there, and they've taken up leadership positions. Though organizations try to bring in some, integrate other races and demographics. But what we see is that they are comfortable bringing you into the lower positions, but the top positions are still basically one race. Then the second race that comes closely after that would be the Chinese in Canada, speaking of Canada. And sometimes you especially for people of color, like the especially the black people, we were a real minority that doesn't even reflect our population within the Canadian society in the workplace. So you tend to see more black people doing jobs that
menial jobs.
Yes, but when in the corporate world we're grossly underrepresented. And I feel they are not as patient as they would be if the immigrant wasn't black. Some I've seen some, a friend of mine recently lost his job. And if it were somebody I didn't know, I would probably think maybe he didn't perform but he's an extremely brilliant person. We worked together. I was a director in my company. Very, very, he worked in the top four audit firm before he came to my past company. And he's an extremely brilliant person. And I know how he takes his job seriously, but the team he was employed in, the team he joined, prior to his joining that team, all the people in the team, a team of about seven were all Chinese. He came in, apparently, maybe there were some people were beginning to ask questions about the team's composition, and they needed to show that they were making an effort. So they brought him in. But he still never settled in the team, and after a year, they asked him to leave. So, and I can't put it past the fact that he found it difficult to integrate with them because it was just one race within a team of seven, and just couldn't fit in. Things that, mistakes that he would make that would be overlooked for some of his colleagues would probably get him in trouble.
Okay. So, but, you know, so if you look at it on the balance, do the pluses outweigh the minuses?
They far outweigh the minuses.
Okay.
They do. We have the challenges that we're faced with here in Canada, and of course there's nowhere like home. No place like home. We'll probably feel a lot more comfortable in Nigeria, but it's not for. Okay, for me, speaking personally, I faced discrimination in Nigeria. Let me just put it simply. So I faced discrimination in Nigeria. Based on ethnicity. I'm from a very minority, a small tribe. The number of us in my tribe, I don't think we're more than 50,000. So, and I know the challenges I had to go through in the corporate world in Nigeria. So discrimination is not new to me. So even in my homeland, where I feel a lot more comfortable, I've been discriminated against. So I don't see any difference coming here. So I look past the discrimination part and look at other things, especially for the elf, and also the prospects for the family generally, the children particularly. We're living in a globalized world. My children are going to be competing with not just Nigerians, but with people all over the world. If they don't get the best of education and the best of exposure, they probably would be ill-equipped to face life.
But they were getting really excellent education in Nigeria.
At an exorbitant, the challenge with, like, that's another thing that's driving a lot of professionals out of Nigeria. The fact that you are at the mercy of your employers for basic things. The fact that the day you lose that job, which many people have experienced, those very good schools that your children are enjoying, it stops. And this is basic education we're talking about. It's not even university. So it stops that very day. So you are at the mercy of your employers. You have to slave for your employers just because you cannot afford to lose that standard of living. That is something that isn't here. We know the basic stuff is there. Your kids will still go to public schools, which everybody goes to. Yeah. Whether or not you have a good job or you have a bad job.
But they have private schools too, expensive.
Yes, but that's for the top 1%. I'm not aspiring to that group.
But really, so the benefits of being here outweigh the the disadvantages.
Yes, it does.
But I did hear you say that your salary here is lower than your salary in Nigeria.
Yes.
So how does that make you feel?
Makes me feel bad because, especially when I first came in, my salary was significantly lower.
Mm-hmm.
As I've changed jobs and I've grown within the organization I'm working for right now, I've seen my salary come, but it's not still up to what I was earning in Nigeria.
Because, you know, okay, the reason I'm asking is that people at home also have expectations.
Yes.
You know, because they think that there's no way if you even tell people in Nigeria that your salary is lower, they won't believe you, you know, many people. So there's the personal thing. There's also the social obligations that you owe. I mean, you know, one owes obligations to one's family back home also. And I think the understanding that things are not as good as they should be is not sometimes extended. So, I mean, but what gives you the, what makes it okay for you?
Because for me, I kind of envisaged I was going to get a step down in my career when I was coming. So I anticipated
this was going to be. Isn't that unusual? Because most people tend to think that everything will be rosy.
Maybe because I was coming from a senior position. I knew I couldn't just walk in and someone would trust me with a director position, especially for a regulated profession. I mean, I'm a chartered accountant, and someone would not just say, okay, because you're a director somewhere, director of finance somewhere, take director of finance here. It wasn't going to happen. So I knew that realistically I was going to take it step down. How low I would go was the question. So I was lucky I didn't go. I went low, significantly lower.
So what makes it okay though?
Because I knew I got to the position I was in Nigeria by a combination of hard work and the grace of God, and knowing what I, being good at what I was. So I knew it was something that could be can be replicated. So I have no qualms with trying it out somewhere else, whether in a different, and it's been working. No sooner that I've gotten into the role I was doing in the company, they realized that I was better than under a year, I got promotion and I'm still moving ahead in the organization. I'm even looking for better ones. But so I have no doubt in my mind that I will get to where I was in Nigeria and even go beyond that.
Okay, so why is that? Why do you have that confidence? You know,
because I know.
Is it also because the market here is bigger? You know, so the Nigeria's economy compared with Canadian economy is smaller. You know, so there are more opportunities.
Exactly. Here. Exactly.
And I think the structure of opportunity too is maybe more advantageous, you know, to people who work hard. There's less cronyism, maybe.
Yes.
Because, you know, people are needed.
Exactly. And you've said the right thing. I think the opportunities here are more, not just because Canadian market is bigger than the Nigerian market, but the proximity to the states as well has even amplified the size of the Canadian market and the opportunities, because being a Canadian, you can cross over to the states and also take jobs there. So that opportunity is there and it's not one to ignore. And if you're hard working and you know your stuff, you can always grow within a large market like this. So that gives me hope.
Okay. So let us stop, because I think thank you very much for giving me these great responses. And you know, I think I might even follow up. Maybe we'll have a Zoom conversation.
Okay.
And I might also be asking you to refer me to other people that I would talk to,
okay,
about the same issues. One of the things we didn't talk about now is the children, you know. So what are your hopes and aspirations? How does being in Canada enable you to kind of fulfill some of these hopes and aspirations for the children?
Okay.
And then, I mean, so there are people who are professional like you. I would like to ask you about something that is not about you, what you know about immigrants, Nigerian immigrants in general, the experience in Canada. People in your cadre, and then people who are struggling more, you know. Because I think, like I said, some people have really, they have expectations that coming to Canada is just going to transform their life. So when they hit the place and there's this really serious struggle, it's a big disappointment for them. So I'd like to talk about that later.
Okay.
Thank you very much.